Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, Charlottesville, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. I'm Andy. Alongside me, we have...
Alex.
Mark.
Christian.
And I'm Daniel.
All right, so let's just jump right into it. First game of the weekend was a big one. I honestly wasn't going into this with much hope. Manchester United versus Spurs.
Kane out.
Yeah, that was the big news that came out, on Friday?
You still got to win.
Right. And the one thing that I know that Mourinho was not happy about was Kepka asking what he thought about the whole Kane situation. He was like, well, what about our situation? What about Pogba? What about Carrick? What about, you know, Fellaini? Some people on our Twitter page, by the way, did not like this when I said this. I think personally that maybe the Pochettino love train needs to slow down a little bit.
You want to pump the brakes on it? He's the best manager for Spurs.
He is a good manager.
I'm glad you
he
said
has
for
the potential
Spurs,
to be
you
a
said
great
he's
manager.
The best manager, like you've said about the goalkeeper. Like.
He has the potential to be a great manager.
I mean, I think if you're missing a world class striker, that's a significant loss.
But
he's
also,
Harry Kane is world class. Come on.
Right, of course. I agree with you.
Kane's world class.
But, I mean, look at Eriksen playing. He was half the man he should have been.
He's class.
Before we get too off on Spurs' lack of ability on the day, let's give some nod to United's very strong back three and defensive structure.
Yeah, because the midfield was doing nothing.
Nothing. And United have yet to concede at home. And their defense gets stronger and stronger. Their offense will get better as their players start to return.
Right.
So another train we need to keep the brakes firmly pumped on is the Manchester City running away with the league talk, because United, they're building, and
really?
They're going to be very tough as the season goes on.
What did you make of the United midfield? Because there did seem to be a lot of people that were kind of of two minds. Some people were saying Herrera was the man of a match. Some people were saying it was horrible. I think he had a woeful performance, to be perfectly honest with you. I thought Young was not that great. Matic was probably our best player, outside of Martial and kind of having the composure to do that finish.
Right, with Matic guarding those back three guys, you've got a really good dynamic going on, because you can get your fullbacks going very high up the pitch. Valencia, and I think Young was deployed more forward this time. He wasn't playing a wing back or a left back position. I admire what they're doing. It's becoming more and more clear that Mourinho will win Ferguson-esque style matches where they'll win 1-0, they'll bring the sub on, the super sub, Anthony Martial, who just, again, I don't know why it's not Rashford, Martial, Lukaku every single week for these guys.
Right.
I mean, Mkhitaryan's the starter for them, that's probably why, and Mkhitaryan's had a great season so far. I thought Ashley Young had a better game than Andy's giving him credit for. He was up and down the left side all day. But I think ultimately it was... United had a lot of chances, but Spurs had their chances as well.
Right.
Really, it was a big mistake in the back by Eric Dier and Vertonghen as well, but mostly Dier, I would say. He looked like a midfielder on that play. It was just a simple kick out from De Gea, and all of a sudden, a header by Lukaku skims it on, and all of a sudden, Martial's behind the back. I mean, it shouldn't be that easy, and it was. And Dier looked like a player that had been playing in the midfield, which he has been. And it was a disappointing result for any Spurs fan. Going in, you would have expected something, but midway through that second half, it was becoming evident that someone was going to score. It was going back and forth. United had a number of chances other than the goal. Lukaku had one off the post, a header off the post, and Dele Alli had a chance, which was a great kind of cross in from Eriksen. And he does this thing where he doesn't trust his left, and he tries to like dink it with his right. He did that a couple weeks ago as well, and I think that if he were to take these like on with his left, they'd be these would be goals. And he's left goals on the table because of his lack of trust or inability to use his left. And, you know, hey, credit to United for getting the win. I still think that City are the best squad in the Premiership.
But I agree.
At the same time, United are going to make a run at it, just like, you know, a number of other squads will, and we'll see what happens at the end of the year.
Well, and this is where I think you see depth being so key, because Spurs without Kane, it's a very different squad, and that you can see that they're trying to figure out who's going to score. Ali played a little bit deeper in the midfield for most of that match, and then, just like you were saying, he moved up to try and get more chances on goal and that type of thing, and it just doesn't... Their rhythm is definitely off, and Son's not going to be that guy that's the lone striker leading
Son's
the line.
Son's more of a winger, I
would say. Right, exactly. He's not going to be that
Ericsson
guy.
Ericsson was coming back in the midfield as well. But I thought the move that was that happened...
Kane does a lot of work for you guys.
Kane comes back, yeah.
Exactly.
Kane comes back and plays D, and he'll...
Is Kane out for... I read 4 weeks. Now, I don't know that that's true. I'd leave it to your... knowledge.
I mean, I'm not the physio, as they say.
Wait, you're not?
Maybe you should.
I have no idea when he's coming back. You can read the reports just like everyone else. I mean, what I do know is that the move I thought that was really good midway through, when it was still a stalemate, was bringing on Moussa Dembele.
Right.
I thought that brought a little bit more muscle in for
right.
Tottenham. Harry Winks, I like the guy, but he's not going to go up and steal the ball away from
Matic. I saw a UGA kid actually wearing a Harry Winks jersey, and I was like...
So, what do you think of Dembele?
I didn't say anything, I should have.
Do you think? I don't think Dembele is fully back to what he was.
So Dembele has apparently like a persistent leg injury that just isn't going to go away, and he's not going to be able to play
or something?
Two games in a week, pretty much ever again, unless you know it's we're talking
so
about.
So is he
like,
going to be used
later.
In a pinch?
I think that he can play maybe 60, 70 minutes once a week, maybe once every you know two times out of three games or something like that, but. I mean, Dembele, he's not the player he once was
right.
after this injury, and it's sad because he really was that engine in the engine room for Tottenham, and he has been that way for years. But now you can slowly see that change of the midfield. Last year, Wanyama came on and to be more of a factor. Wanyama's not playing hasn't played for Spurs for a good month now. Still, you know, we're looking forward to having him back. I mean, both teams have their injuries, just like every other squad out there in the Premier League 10 weeks in. And United are deeper than most. I mean, they've had a pretty large amount of money spent on them in terms of replacements. And it's, hey, good on them to be where they are. But it's a luxury to have Lingard coming off the bench, as also with Martial. I mean... Not many squads can do that.
Andrew was not happy about Lingard coming off the bench. I was there. He was not pleased.
I just don't rate him. I think he's not a good finisher. He does show up. I mean, he does show up at times, but I just don't think he's got the
finish. Yeah,
he's not
the clinical
finish. A finisher. He's supposed to create. Like.
And he did create.
Yeah,
he was the one that had the in-swinger to Lukaku, which was the header. I mean, he could have had the assist that won you guys the game.
I mean, the one thing I will say. I'll give.
The community
I will
shield,
give.
Like,
yes, I said to you. I said he shows up, but most of the time he doesn't. The one thing I will say about you going back to Pochettino that the positive. I mean, he is a good manager. I'm saying, but the one great thing he has that Mourinho doesn't is that Pochettino will allow young players to come in and flourish. Mourinho is famous for not giving young players the opportunity, especially at United, where the whole ethos of the club is the youth. And he's not, you know, I mean, if you look at the players that are in the minute, Rashford, they all came in with Van Gaal. They didn't come through Mourinho. So I doubt
they probably wouldn't come through if Mourinho were there.
No, they wouldn't.
If it was 2 years ago and Mourinho's at the helm.
So
I still find that Mkhitaryan is the player that United should be looking at to do more with, especially with Pogba out right now. But I think he's deployed incorrectly, personally. I think he should step back, maybe play a little deeper. And that front three of Martial, Rashford, and Lukaku, I'll keep beating that drum because every time it's on, it seems to work. This was Martial. Now, to counter that, this was Martial's fourth goal this year, and he has scored those four goals off the bench, which is the most in the Premier League. So having the ability to bring that super sub on is like, you can't beat that.
Right. All right, guys, so getting back to what we were talking about, that issue of Pochettino, my issue about Pochettino. On our Twitter page, we are running some questions. It's also on our Blokes on the Bench Facebook page, and we would like to get you guys to get involved. So our Twitter page, which is Twitter at BOTB Soccer, Blokes on the Bench. Two questions. All right, question of the week. The first one, what's more important for your club, winning the Champions League or Premier League? All right, that's the first question. And the second question is Tottenham Hotspur's manager Pochettino overrated? And I want to know an honest answer, because it was funny. The second question, Christian, you saw the answers. First one didn't, we got one reply, but the second one, it just flooded in. Arsenal fans do not like Pochettino, which is not
probably
very surprising.
They're jealous that Spurs have a
future.
We're
not jealous of anything.
So you would rather have Wenger over Pochettino? Please say that on air, please.
Who has 800 Premier League wins?
No doubt that Wenger has the history, but going forward, who would you rather have?
As a manager?
All right, yeah, let's move
on.
The fact that you have
pause.
To ask that question says it all.
Let's move on. Next game. City or West Ham?
That's my game.
West Brom versus Man City. I'll leave it up to you guys, both being City supporters.
I thought that, City did what they needed to do. They got the 3 points. The two goals, Walker shut off. They shut off on the first goal for an instant, and Ederson got caught halfway. He didn't quite know what to do, and they tap it in. On the second goal, Nicolas Otamendi has been playing so much better, and that was a crazy bonehead mistake.
He's a hothead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like,
he's
you can't, like, that ball comes directly to him, and he tries to chest it towards Ederson from, 10 yards, that's not going to work.
That's
now,
the kind of thing he would have done last year.
Exactly.
Right. He has improved as a player.
Now, full credit to the West Brom player who played through that and kept going for the ball and tapped it in. But, Pep was right after the game in that they left too many chances unfinished. At some point, that will bite them. That's the thing that hurt them last year. They can't afford to do that in the Champions League. KDB had a couple chances that, he just fluffed. He missed. He had one he tried to finish with the right. He should have finished with the left. He had one he curved wide. They've got to finish those chances.
I was talking to you about this. We were both watching the game, Daniel, and I'm saying both goals that West Brom scored were right in front of Ederson, right in front of him. I think he's a better goalkeeper than Bravo. I'll give him that. He has got so much potential. Bravo was a good goalkeeper. It's just I don't think he was comfortable in the cross.
And let's give credit where credit's due. Ederson is only in his 10th match in the Premier League with Manchester City and those two defenders in front of him. So I think those are the kind of mistakes that will come, as you obviously can remember how De Gea did not have the easiest of first seasons.
You're
and
right.
I'm not comparing Ederson to De Gea. I'm not even getting close to that.
He has the potential.
He's a young man, and the future's bright for sure.
He doesn't have the body, though.
All right.
But I think as well that while we're talking about the two goals conceded, Guardiola did talk about we should have won 5-6-1 in the game.
Definitely.
And he wants to score goals. That's how you win Premier Leagues. That's how you win titles. You score goals. And that's our best defense. Leroy Sané just continues.
I was about to mention him. He's on my fantasy team. That guy is, I need to captain him.
Champagne supernova right there. He does not stop.
Wherever you are.
Right. That was a bullet of a goal as well.
Yeah, right in third or fifth minute of the match.
Right.
You're like, whoa, where did that come from?
Kind of reminded me a little bit of Pogba's goal against Swansea last season. It was just an absolute bullet. And it almost travels in slow motion. You're almost going, it's a goal before it's gone in because you're watching it slide in.
Well, it was so quick. It was, ball at his feet, one touch, left foot to right foot, bang, in the back of the net. The keeper stood there and just watched it and
react.
And just put his head down.
He didn't react.
Yeah, he couldn't. He just couldn't.
He was so close in with so much power, and it kind of went through the defender's legs. It was just came out of nowhere.
As a City supporter, I'm going to vent in that I thought that Guardiola spent too much in our EPL match, cup match during the week where we deployed Aguero and...
We played everybody.
And then had to go...
You luckily won on penalties.
Yeah, we had to go 120 minutes. Now, knowing that we had an away match coming up in the league, that we have Champions League on Wednesday this week, and we have a dynamic match next week against Arsenal, I just wasn't sure what the point was. So Aguero was on the bench and
Arsenal
only warmed up, and we didn't need him, as it turns out. But I just don't understand making that competition a priority given how many fronts that we're fighting on.
Yeah. I will say this, though, when you're talking about the Champions League games, when you played Napoli, That first 30 minutes was probably the best performance I've seen in Europe this year.
Well, I
even
said,
with seven goals scored the other day.
I said to you, Andy, that City's strategy, City's tactic has been overwhelming force for 30 minutes.
Right.
And then they'll hang back a little bit, and their second half starts have been rather lackluster. And that's when teams can get back into games. And, you know, when it works, it's great. But you got, and that's what Pep keeps saying, you have to finish those chances. Finishing those chances, you can put games away and run and go hide. It came out in this game against West Brom. Same thing. If you're up 4-0, you can chill out for a little bit. You know,
you can give up two goals.
Right. You can give up two goals. And it's like, but, you know, they made this unnecessarily interesting by not finishing chances.
I will say, we haven't talked about Fernandinho's goal.
Oh.
Yeah, Fernandinho's lucky deflection that came through.
Right, it was unlucky, but it was still a great goal.
It was a lucky goal, but you're not counting on Fernandinho to score goals. I mean, it's great in FIFA when he's standing outside of the box and you laser beam in one like that. Obviously, this wasn't so much a laser beam, but he's not out there to score goals. He was one of the contributors in West Brom's second goal, or the first goal scored. I believe he turned it over. But he's doing the hard work. He's helping that back three or back four, however you want to set them up, to keep the ball out. City topped the league right now with 28 points. Third time in the Premier League that's occurred. Chelsea in 2005-06, and City did it in 11-12. Those two teams both went on to win the title the year that they did that. So, fingers crossed. I know there's tougher days ahead. There's harder matches coming, but things look good.
See, last year your problem, I think, was at the back. Like, you had a goalkeeper that wasn't comfortable crossing. You know, Stones was a little iffy. And Otamendi, too. This year has been a complete turnaround for all three of those players. Bravo's not, he's on the bench most of the time. But, you know, I think that plays up through the team. I think Pep has started at the back, when they talk about being an attacking team, started at the back and pushed it through, and it's helped everyone. I think De Bruyne is a better player this year because of the back.
I think there's always the debate over, is Pep a genius, yada, yada. Say this out loud. Fabian Delph is an excellent left back in the Premier League right now. I mean, come on.
Right. He's made that position his own. It's impressive.
Yeah, it's crazy. And he's not even, like, he's sort of playing left back. He plays back there, but he's always in the midfield. And, like, I don't know if, I mean, Benjamin Mendy was tearing it up. Mm-hmm. And when he went down, I was like, oh, my goodness, we're going to put Delph back there? What are we doing now? And, I mean, it's unbelievable. And I never thought I'd also say, like, I think...
Silva's a great player.
Here's the thing, the value. So when Vincent Kompany goes down, which, let's be real, we knew he wasn't going to play the entire season. But I think you're seeing now what Vincent Kompany's brought to the club in somebody like Stones, who he has clearly made a better central defender.
Right. Yeah, so you just think it needed that one season to kind of get everyone in gear.
Yeah, we still finish in the top four.
On
the
journey, of course. But going for a complete title challenge, I think it's undisputed this year that you're going to be in there.
Well,
I think you're going to win it, but...
But to go back to the Delph thing, I mean, Delph, he's only going to be a good left back when you have 78% of the possession like you do today.
Correct.
Going up against West Brom's of the world.
Right.
Well, you know, let's see that in the Champions League, you know, against some top squads.
Well, but we are seeing that. We're seeing that in everything that since he's been asked to do the job. I mean, Danilo can't get a match now because Delph has just
I agree, but let's put... what I'm saying is put Fabian Delph on a different
made
team.
Some money off you guys. No offense. Like, Danilo is really not that great of a player.
No, but we needed depth at a position. If you're seeing what Kyle Walker's really brought to the
depth.
Team. We were with Zabaleta, bald tires out there for a long time. And
Zabaleta was a great player in his day.
He was a true hero for the club for many years, but his time came and we had to move on. And that's the difference to me is that the fullbacks.
Yeah, but you don't have to have double world record defender fees to have replacements. I think
you can have the laugh about it now. Your day is coming where Spurs start spending money like everybody else.
Okay, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. We'll be right back. The time is 6:20. All right, we're back. Hope you ladies are okay. You know, you got a bit of a fight going on there.
These baby girls are fun.
Mark's going to give them both a hug. All right, Arsenal versus Swansea. Swansea-like. You want to pass it over to our resident gunner?
Thank you. I first want to start with, I know it's not talking about this game, but midweek, this guy Katea came in. EFL Cup.
He comes in like 2 minutes later, scores a goal, and then he scores the winner.
All right.
I think he's going to bench Theo Walcott in like T-minus 2 weeks. There's a play where like he kicked the ball on the wing past their wing back and like outran the guy and got the ball. And right. Theo Walcott is like, me and Greggy have talked about this. He's just so like disappointed.
I got to have an issue with Petacek, though. That first goal was weak. Oh, straight through his legs.
Come on, Bruce, get off the line.
Brutal.
Yeah, no joke.
What do you got to say to that, Mark?
But it's not just the keeper there. The defense. What happened to the defense?
I didn't even. When I look at it in my head, I don't
Abraham
see any defense at all.
All in. I mean, Abraham looks like for Chelsea, he'll be playing for them T minus whatever seasons, though, not weeks. But go on, Mark. Tell us about the game.
Go on. I'm going to say one thing. Saad Kolesniak is an absolute monster.
That guy. He was the best.
He's class. And we got him on a free. He is the best. He's looking to be one of the best transfers of the entire transfer season this year. He's amazing. And there's this pundit that said that he's like built like a World War II English toilet. Like he is. He is not able to be exploded. Like, no, seriously. Like. No, but the guy's got the heart. He's got the pedigree. He's got the class. I mean, you saw it in the goal.
But I think most people, like, criticism of him is that he doesn't have the class. But he proved on the goal that he did. And then he had the assist as well.
Right.
No, he has he's in it. Well, I think that people, when you're thinking of Arsenal, you're thinking of someone that can do the step overs and this and that.
Well,
but
he's a defender.
Well, exactly. But for whatever reason, in a wing back, they want something else. Then what they really need is defense first. And hey, today he wasn't defense first, he was attack first, and I agree with you.
Yesterday. You always get this wrong.
I think that he had a great day, probably his best day for Arsenal yet. He scored in a couple other,
He scored a couple times.
He scored against you guys in
We got him on the shield. And I had no idea who this guy was, and I'm like, how do I pronounce his name? But like now we all know his name.
Right. Even if we can't pronounce
it. Klaus.
So should we call him the Lou? Like, well, what?
The toilet.
The Lou.
The toilet's on the field.
No, but it's great. Ramsey gets the winner.
Yeah, and that was a great goal.
I am going to say, like, concern, and I've been concerned about this for a while. We continually get in games where we're 2-1 up, and we don't get that third goal. Like,
just put the game to bed?
Yeah.
Right.
3-4 months from now, like, if we don't step our game up and kill the game off, which is what I call it, go for the jugular, kill the game off, we're going to start dropping points, if not losing points. Like, just losing games.
I think that there's a lot of a big misconception about Arsenal, and even listening to an Arsenal supporter sitting here, Arsenal are undefeated in 18 consecutive matches now across all competitions. They've scored 27 goals and only given up 7 during that time.
That's not right. They lost to Watford.
They lost to Watford, though. Across all competitions. So since Watford, and maybe I'm wrong on that. That's what I found.
No, I think you're
researching.
Right at 18, but I think they.
I'm sorry.
18
yeah.
and 1
at home. I apologize. That was the key to that whole point at the Emirates. They're undefeated. And that's becoming a bit.
You mean the Palace?
A bit of a, yeah. I mean, that's what it's become.
The best stadium in England?
Far too big and far too quiet, but that's a different story.
Come on, that place is so quiet. I went there.
Ashburton Grove.
But I think that we need to maybe start looking at Arsenal as being part of this title story this year.
Thank you,
I don't know why we would dismiss it when the results are clearly there.
Because everybody dismisses Arsenal.
Right. Like, because it's become the running joke, fourth place.
Even Arsenal fans dismiss it.
Well, yeah, even the
Arsenal
fans.
I haven't dismissed it at all.
Not you, but I have some friends that are in London that are Arsenal fans.
That don't even watch the games.
They've stopped watching Arsenal because they're just ashamed by the way that they play and the fact that they don't really commit to winning the game. I mean, Eric Reinford, if you're out there listening, you know who I'm talking. It's like not only him, it's a lot of Arsenal fans are just not interested anymore. They have essentially boycotted watching them, everything. They don't even care. They just want Wenger out. They want the board to be completely removed.
Mm.
And now you hear situations like this.
I do think that Troy Deeney had a point
We'll get to Troy Deeney this weekend.
Be careful here.
No, not necessarily in the physicality per se. Although I think that's a factor, but
what did he say?
If people will take the game to Arsenal, just like you're saying, because they won't grab a game and take it over. If you can take the match to Arsenal, I don't think they necessarily want to be in it. They remind me a lot of, like, because I'm a Roma supporter too. Same thing. Like, it's this. I don't know if you call it a mental weakness, or like they just don't have that edge.
They don't
City
have cojones,
City used to be that way. Right, cojones. That's right. The City used to be that way. City was that way under Pellegrini. They just wouldn't go after a game. And if you came at them, they kind of, you know. And if they got a couple goals, that was great, but they wouldn't take a game over.
There was no plan B with City.
Right.
And Steve last week did, the guest last week did point out, you know, watching Arsenal, being good Arsenal, bad Arsenal, and you can't really tell the difference. Arsenal on their day will give you a hiding.
But I mean, they beat Chelsea in the FA Cup last year in the final.
Right.
You know,
third FA Cup in 4 years.
And they beat United in the Shield earlier this year. I mean,
yeah.
I think that the narrative with Arsenal is just a little poisoned because everybody looks at Wenger and it's time to move on. The meeting that they had with the shareholders this week sounded like absolute chaos. And
shareholders are the problem.
Well,
the
I think the owners, the owners,
and
the problem.
The owner definitely is the problem.
Right. Let's be real. They screwed up the Alexis Sanchez thing. They messed that up, and it's going to bite them.
Well, and they also have this Ozil situation coming up, which, you know, you guys were all
Jackie boys.
Right, you're the Arsenal supporter.
Back.
The Arsenal supporter is saying let Ozil go, but meanwhile Ozil is tied with De Bruyne this year for most chances created in the league. We're all throwing a rose parade for Kevin De Bruyne. Meanwhile, Ozil, he looks indifferent.
He gets a bad stick,
right?
Like,
as Arsenal does.
His eyes are offside.
This has to be the apocalypse.
It's his body language.
I'm speaking up for Arsenal. There has to be.
Thank you, Gretchen.
Cats living with dogs. This is it. It's the end.
Well, it's been nice knowing everyone.
All right, so let's talk the next game: Crystal Palace versus West Ham.
West Ham. What a game. This is the one I was watching when all the other games are going on, and especially in the second half.
What, at the bar at the...
Hernandez.
I was watching on my phone.
Hernandez.
Actually,
I had forgotten Chicharito was at West Ham. I had totally forgotten that until I saw him on the screen.
And that brings up a good question. He scored, obviously, in the game, a great strike. Can Hernandez be...
It was a good goal. I wouldn't say it was a great strike.
It was a
good goal.
It was you should be using your left,
used the outside of his right.
And he used the outside of his right, exactly, and a very odd goal.
There was real venom in that, though, I thought. Like, he really bit at that ball.
No, he was on for that game. You could see Chicharito was on. He wanted goals. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So I was watching because Palace at home, down a goal... And you could just sense that something was going to happen.
Oh, something did happen.
And something did. Zaha in the 90,
but what led
whatever,
to that Zaha goal?
It was shocking what West Ham did again and again and again. They had so many chances to kill off the game, whether it's to go to the corner and just hold it there. But every time they did something, it was the exact opposite of what you should have done.
Right.
They tried to pass it in, and it would go right to... There were literally chances where it was 3-on-1, and the cross-in would go directly to the only Palace player in the box. Or you would just kick it over the goal wide. I mean, there were so many chances that West Ham should have killed off that game and got that third goal to put it away.
Mm-hmm.
That said, on the other side, Kabai had a few chances. He hit the post
as
well.
I was going to say, Palace had a bunch of chances.
Yeah,
earlier.
I mean, so it was both ends.
That's
it was
a good
really
term,
good game.
Kill the game off.
I think West Ham were complacent at the end. I mean,
I think that they were cocky, if anything.
Right.
I forget who the player was for West Ham. He came downfield in the 95th minute.
Yep. Antonio.
And he went for the goal. All he had to do was turn to the corner, match over, game over, 3 points, Bilic in. They come off beating Spurs in the cup match during midweek, so things start to solidify and look a little bit better. But boy, Bilic can't be held accountable for that lost points there. That's absolutely shocking.
That was my
thing.
Well,
maybe that player wanted them to lose.
Well, that's it, exactly.
Bilic be gone.
Right.
I mean, if you're Slaven Bilic, you go into your office, shut the door, and just scream. Because, like, you go from rescuing, to a degree, yourself by upsetting Spurs in the Carabao
Cup. Oh, I love
when
they beat Spurs.
And then they go to Palace, up 2 goals, a team at the bottom of the table, and then you let them get 2 back, and then you lose at the death. Like, that's not a good
draw at the death.
Oh, true. Okay. Sorry, I'm sorry. Draw
at the death. So I think one thing that we're forgetting, though, is Font went down with an injury semi-late in the game, they brought in a young guy, not as though he played poorly, but Declan Rice, who looks like he has a lot of promise. I wouldn't be surprised if City pay a $50 million for him in just a few years.
Line it up, line it up.
But no, I mean, I think that was one of the bigger plays that you don't even think about. That substitution, you bring an experienced Premier League player off, Declan Rice comes on. I'm not saying he was the reason the goal was scored, but then you just lose that continuity in the back. There's people are unsure of who's got who. But Zaha, that strike, it should never have happened.
Oh, that should have never
happened. Yeah, and that goes to show, well, he nutmegged the defender. He kicks the ball between the defender's legs, and it goes wide, and to me, that really showed Hart. Hart couldn't see the ball, and I'll give him a little bit of credit that. But that's where Joe Hart's game, I think 5 years ago, he probably saves that ball for some reason. But now I don't see it.
But Hart had a number of really, really good shots saved.
He's still a good player.
He tipped one onto the crossbar.
Right.
Yeah,
he's England's number one.
Okay.
That's a sad thing, as he probably is.
Can I just ask, out of this match, we see these two teams near the bottom of the table. West Ham obviously have their issues. Someone's in that match is going down, right? Or maybe both of these two teams. I think Palace is going to solidify itself a little bit, but they're going to be in this relegation battle all year long.
But can Hernandez save this team?
Be in the mix.
Yeah. Is Hernandez good enough as a striker to save this team?
No, absolutely not.
He's good enough to serve as my third striker on my fantasy team. Most important. As Andy likes to say, most importantly, the guy scored for my team.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like United win, and
he got captain Troy Deeney.
Andy, I had a little tear laughing at that. That was very funny.
Wait, you don't have Troy Deeney on your fantasy team?
No. No, but we'll get to Troy Deeney this week. He's going to be out for three games, but we'll talk about that. That was a rough thing.
Well, it sounds like you need to hop over the pond and hang out with Troy Deeney.
I should get a pint with him. All right, Liverpool versus Huddersfield. Liverpool
did what they needed to do.
Right.
But they didn't really in the first half. It ended. It was 0-0. Salah had a pretty weak penalty.
Right. And Sturridge's goal just came off really bad defending.
Yeah, Tommy Smith basically
gifted
played a
him the ball
through ball,
for,
and
right.
Tommy Smith doesn't play for Liverpool. And Tommy Smith also took down whoever it was for Liverpool that went
Smith
down.
Tommy Smith was also one of the worst commentators. I think that was like...
That's what I was hoping you were talking about. Tommy Smith.
When I first came over in America, like, I was watching like early on, and it was like Tommy Smith, like...
That's what he sounds like, too. No, Tommy Smith is the captain for Huddersfield, so you'd think he'd be with a bit more composure, but in the end, he's their Huddersfield's worst nightmare.
It was the second goal. I think I counted, including the keeper, there were eight people in the box on
this
that
off
goal.
The corner.
Right, yeah, eight people in the box, and, you know, you get that kind of goal, like, oh, man, that's brutal.
Yeah, Firmino,
like that's brutal.
Just got it easily.
Right, it was Firmino.
Ronaldo with the third. That's a nice strike.
So Liverpool have given up the most goals, aside from Watford, I believe, in the Premier League. And the funny thing about that is they've only surrendered one goal at home. And so there at home, that's become a fortress, much like Arsenal's become a fortress. The home teams are really finding a way to lock these matches down. Now Huddersfield, you know, they're having... It's a newly promoted side. They're obviously going to struggle, especially against bigger sides.
Not last week.
But that was a homecoming in a lot of ways. Right. I mean, the biggest match they've probably hosted there in forever.
We're doing a quick fact check on your goals against number.
Yeah. That number has changed since the that was as the matches started on Saturday.
Okay, yeah.
So things
right now,
changed.
Crystal Palace have the most goals against, 21, Everton 20, Stoke City 20. Watford 18, and then Liverpool 16. But yes, Liverpool have the most goals against in the top half of the table.
This is just a
replay of last year, right?
Real-time fact-checking in the world, and I like that. Hold these things accountable, because the more of Milwaukee's finest I have over here, the fuzzier those numbers are going to get. So keep me in check.
Do you think had more goals against last year? Liverpool or Arsenal?
You should get us up on
this. This is a trick question, clearly.
they both surrendered the same amount.
44 for Arsenal, 42 for Liverpool.
But what a goal by Wijnaldum at the end. And somebody actually pointed this out. There was a lot of these high, tight balls, like hitting corners, like just rockets right into the left or right corner of the net, and you're...
same thing. That one Yarmo goal is the same thing. There's a ton of Huddersfield players in there, and he's by himself. Great strike. I mean, what are you going to do? There's nothing. I mean, top back corner of the net. There's nothing you can do.
I think more interestingly, you had Klopp and Wagner out there, who are best of friends.
Right.
Wagner was Klopp's best man at his wedding. I find that really fascinating, and we probably don't talk enough about Wagner, American manager in the top flight. Like, everybody slagged off Bob Bradley last year, but meanwhile we've got an American who's got
is he American? I didn't know. I didn't know
he is. Yeah, yeah, he is American.
He was the best man at Klopp's wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I did not know that. There you go. That's how much I didn't know about Huddersfield.
Best man at Klopp's wedding. Klopp's wedding was probably really fun.
All right, let's move on from Klopp's wedding. Watford versus Stoke. Now, there is a talking point in this. This was a passionate, heated game.
Heated.
Troy Deeney is likely to probably face a three-game ban.
Oh, talk about that. I'm not aware of what happened there.
So there was a bit of a dispute on the field. I'm not actually 100% sure what it was over, because it happened so fast, as these things tend to
do. Did this happen on Friday night or Saturday?
No, during the game. And so...
He's a bouncer.
He's kind of he was brought down, I think it was what it was. And the player brought him down, he goes into his face and starts smooshing his hands into the guy's face and laughing at him. It was like psychotic looking.
Oh, we got the picture up over here.
Oh, it is psychotic. It's bad looking. It's just like, yeah, that just looks horrible. It's like he's trying to crush his skull.
He's a bouncer.
But the thing was, the referee didn't see it, so we just give them both yellows. Now, what's going to happen is the referee is going to be pointed out. The officials are going to point it. They're going to watch it. They're going to pass it.
But it also looks like Deeney is getting a headbutt as this is happening, too. I mean, come on.
It's a lot going on. So he then... So, the referees are going to watch it with the officials. Okay. It's going to get passed on to a board. You're going to watch it. And then within, I think by Monday, they're saying, I guess, Watford are going to be given this, you know, three-point ban. I don't know if there's a fine involved. You know, we'll find out.
Wait, three-point ban?
Three-match point. Yeah. Three-match ban for Troy Deeney. Yeah. It's more than likely going to happen. But, yeah, so as that's happening in, five or six of each of the players from each teams are pushing in like a giant fight is breaking out, like a brawl, and the referee doesn't see that much. But that was one of the big talking points of the weekend, and I do think that Troy Deeney was just should have kept his cool there.
Yeah, but he's kind of that guy.
Oh, like, he is. He went to prison. Like, he was, you know,
kind of that guy.
He's a hard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a hothead, right? And that's the type of thing that gets you in trouble. And when you're someone of his importance to your team, you got to be smarter. You just
right.
Be.
You do. This is not taking away anything from Fletcher's
goal. But now Andy's taking Fletcher's holiday, goal was great. And he's going to England to hang out with Troy Deeney for 3-4 days, maybe.
And this is
a week. You know.
A big
hit
away,
him up on Facebook.
This is a big away win for Stoke. I mean,
it really is.
That goal
off the corner, I mean, that was great stuff.
Yeah, that was
well
a good
done
goal.
By the manager to
Darren
kind of set
Fletcher
that all up.
Still
Darren
out
Fletcher.
There. That's amazing.
Former United man. Mm-hmm.
Feels like 20 years of it's weird. Like him, Johnny Evans, it's nuts.
Right. All right, guys, the time is 20 to 7. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back to Blokes on the Bench. Don't forget to check out our Twitter page, Twitter at BOTB Soccer. We got some questions that we would like to hear from you. And obviously our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Blokes on the Bench. All right, so the next game, Bournemouth versus...
Chelsea.
Defending champions.
Chelsea. The Fighting Cherries.
Do you think Chelsea have a shot this year?
No.
Definitely.
Without a doubt. They won that match they win these matches.
We have three quarters of the season to go. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Anything.
Right. Yeah.
Don't write
you can't win a title.
Says the Tottenham fan.
Right. I mean, you can't...
Anything can always happen. Yeah.
Right.
Tottenham
well, that's a good point. Anything can happen except
Liverpool.
Arsenal winning.
It's Liverpool's year, right? Oh, no, wait, that's next year, sorry.
When it's Liverpool, it's everything has already happened. Mm.
Right. I mean, they do say that you can't win a title by November, but you can definitely lose it.
Yeah. I
actually really offended some Liverpool fans at a bar last night.
Not hard.
That's not a hard thing to
have. Yeah.
By saying that they didn't win the 2005 Champions League, AC Milan lost it, and they, like, were done with me.
Andrea Pirlo agrees, if you've read his biography.
Yeah, and Inzaghi was born offsides.
I love it. That's my favorite quote by
Ferguson
by
has
Ferguson.
Got it, man. Ferguson has got it. Like, I'm not a Man U fan, but Ferguson, like... And I look at games like this sometimes, too, where I'm like, 2005 Champions League final, 3-0. They come back to win. Liverpool didn't win. AC Milan lost the game. Like, they had it in the bag. Like,
And then a strike from Gerrard from distance quickly puts them back to Chelsea and Bournemouth.
Yeah, let's stick to the game.
To answer the question, I think Chelsea obviously has a shot. Right now, I still think they have a giant Conte-sized hole in that lineup.
Right.
I mean, you can see that is a different squad without him in there. Now, they're going to get results because they still have tremendous class. But, I mean, that's going to be a problem in games where, in matches where the competition is closer. I mean, that's definitely going to be a problem. Because they don't have anybody. He does so much. And, you know, it's going to take two players to replace him, which you can't do. So, I mean, they're going to struggle to control the midfield in some games. Bournemouth got a lot of stuff up the middle that, you know, if Conte's there, that's all gets shut down.
Yeah, Leicester has never found a replacement. He is a singular talent in the world of football. Yeah, he is an alien. He really is. And I love every show that we talk about him, and he's not playing. Yeah. That's what's crazy.
That's how
we're
important
not.
He is.
Yeah.
But there is one player that they are missing that left that.
Matic?
No. Costa.
Eh.
Yeah, but Matic, I think, is,
no
is that.
Costa
that
was one of the best.
I think Matic is the bigger loss.
Chelsea
strikers are going to score goals no matter what.
You think Morata will?
They didn't, obviously.
I think Morata is a right-for-right change for Costa. Improvement long-term.
Yeah.
And Costa, I mean, he's gone. Good riddance. See you later.
He's a punt.
But Morata had a really good game. He never put the ball in the back of the net. He did have the assist on the Hazard goal.
Yeah, the assist, yeah.
And if you look at like his ability to play the ball at his feet, he has much more class than Costa ever had. Costa was more of like a goal poacher, someone that's going to bully the ball into the back of the net.
And Costa
Morata
was
has
about
that
himself,
kind
too.
Of flair. Yeah, he was a hothead.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a neutral and Costa's on the field, you're going to automatically start to root against Chelsea because he's just that person that you cannot possibly root for.
Murata's not going to get. Murata's not going to, you know, be out on, you know, yellow card accumulation, and he's going to be a much more steady presence.
And,
not
a potential red card,
in every match. Yeah.
I'm not saying I like Costa. I think he was definitely a controversial figure.
Nobody likes Costa.
I actually hate Costa. But
I hate him too.
I did get some respect for him when we talked about this last year when he was drinking a beer after the match winner.
Mm.
He is the kind of player that you're going to hate. Unless he's on your side,
right.
And then you probably still hate him. He's just a perfect Mourinho player. Atletico Madrid
are my squad in Spain, and so I'm semi-happy to see him back there at the same time.
It'll be interesting to see him back there.
Yeah, because he'll be playing in January.
Yeah.
I got to say, the world's going to end if Costa ever plays for Mourinho. That's just going to be like, swoop. Like,
well, that already happened.
Yeah, so the world
Wait, so are we just like it happens again?
Okay. Good analysis.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Jordan Ive had a chance to tie
it
up.
Put
I mean,
that one
there,
on
there were a few other chances that happened out there. I mean, Fabregas almost made it too. I mean, this game wasn't all about the one goal for Hazard,
but
in the
that
end,
was
that's
a
what you're going to remember.
Heck of a goal.
Yeah, he went near post.
Man,
and just
that goal
talking about
pretty.
Taking a shot with fizz and power that we were talking about with Sané. We got to give this one equal credit as well.
That's his third goal in four visits to Bournemouth, to Vitality Stadium. I'm wondering if he's got friends that live there, or I don't know. He just seems to excel when he goes to that ground. It's good to see that Hazard is getting in form, especially in a big World Cup year. Belgium, we could talk endlessly about the talent Belgium can throw out at people.
Not to mention Fellaini.
Oh, and in regards to World Cups, congratulations to the Englishman. England captured the under-17 World Cup.
Congratulations.
Stockport Messi with two goals. That's Phil Foden from Manchester City Football Club.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, he looks good, and I think he's going to find his way on the side starting next year. He's going to be a big part of City's future.
Oh, he'll play this season in the Cup game.
Well, let's play him and not Aguero, although they sent him to the World Cup for this because that was more important to his development.
Yeah, Pep specifically said that.
Yeah, and I think that England's young players now, you're starting to
see. We've won a couple, and I say we because I'm a citizen and a fan of England. England have won a few World Cups now in the under whatevers, and they look like they have a lot of promise.
A lot of promise, and it's exciting. And England, as an American supporter, England invented this game. I want to see England do well, and I want to see them do well in this coming World Cup. They won't, but I'd like to see it.
I think there's a natural transition for any American soccer fan to support England in the World Cup coming up this year. obviously you're going to root for any players maybe that are on your club team, perhaps. But there's just that there's obviously so much continuity between the countries, starting with the language and many other
things. If you're an American Spurs fan, it's probably easy to support England.
Yeah, because, I mean, half the team is.
Yeah, and is that our connection, all of us, to the beautiful game? Is England what drew all of you into this? I mean, you said you were a Roma supporter. Is that
actually what drew... Andrew and I talked about this weekend. What actually drew me into soccer was UVA. Believe it or not, when I was in New York growing up, you know, we had the Cosmos, so you were aware of soccer. But when we moved to Virginia, that was when, like, my first year here was Tony Meola's year on the team. We were here when Bruce Arena was here with the Agus brothers. I mean, Claudio Reyna was my soccer idol when I was a kid. I mean, I wanted to be
Captain America.
Right, I wanted to be Claudio Reyna. So that's actually my connection.
That's why I got my Captain America notebook right there, Mr. Reyna.
All right, guys, we have to move on. But yeah, you're right. The connection here is...
It's actually UVA was the first big, like, real soccer that a lot of us saw. It sounds like three of the five of us in the room. So, I mean, Bruce Arena, as much as negativity gets around the country, around here, he's still revered for what he's done, both for UVA football, University of Virginia football.
Yeah, I thought he said UVA first.
No, UVA.
Well, no, and I will say on the Cup qualifying, like, let's not use him as a scapeoat. Like,
Klinsmann's equally as much at fault.
You know,
all right. We have to leave it there.
We can't go down this rabbit hole.
Right. We have to leave it there. Brighton
Do we have another hour?
we've got Brighton versus Southampton.
1-1.
Yeah.
I mean, so Ward-Prowse had the free kick that went off the crossbar. And
oh, that was a heck of a strike.
Yeah, and Stephen Davis just comes in and cleans it up with a header.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what's going on with Brighton? It's like, you got to be a little bit more alert on that one to playing defense at home, and you let the captain of Southampton get in front. Just nod it in for one up.
But did you not see the Glenn Murray goal?
Glenn Murray, what form is that guy in right now?
6-yard box.
Three goals in two matches? Like, he's... Live it up, Glenn Murray. Live it up, man. That's great.
Yeah, just a few minutes into the second half, he finds the only small little window of the goal off our cross that
Foster
could
go just... looks like Foster's got his hand to it.
It just goes past. It was a great header, because literally he had maybe a 1 square foot box he could put the ball into, and he got it in there and he got the goal.
I feel like we kind of talk about this every week. Are Southampton just looking to sell these guys on in January? Like, the project just keeps turning players over and they make money off of it, and Liverpool obviously love buying Southampton players. And
you mean like a sausage machine club? We're just like, let's get rid of them.
Let's move on to, you know, we've got some young kid in development. Let's go on. I think Van Dijk is just like... checked out. I don't follow them close enough.
He'll
but
go
I,
to Liverpool for $70 million.
I just don't see the results coming out of Southampton that we'd see last year.
You
see
that, but Southampton are in the top half of the table. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be doing anything special this year, but they've got 13 points and are where they should be.
A draw versus Brighton tonight.
At home for Brighton. Brighton's a tough place to play.
City struggled
there.
Everyone
that's gone there has had some troubles. I'm not saying it's the hardest place to play. It's not the Emirates, as Arsenal says, the best stadium.
It's Ash
Fortress.
But Emirates is not the best stadium. Old Trafford. Realistically.
Really?
What do you think of Lallana then for Liverpool?
Well, as I've said, I think that Lallana just never came good at Liverpool, and
the same as Shaw.
He's been
with injury prone at United.
Yeah, but then you guys countered me pretty well with some other players that have come out of Southampton that are doing well. So
old Gary Bale.
Yeah, well, that was that's a different generation.
Yeah,
right.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, Theo Walcott.
And if it doesn't happen in England, it doesn't really happen anyway.
All right. So the last game was Leicester City versus Everton.
The wheels have just come off the Everton bus. Like,
were there ever wheels on it?
That bus is on fire.
Yeah, that bus is
They've been flintstoning it for a while now.
On fire. I mean, it's bad there now. Mm. If you're an Everton supporter, it's tough. Like, if I remember, they're the only team that's never been relegated, right? In Premier League history. And they'll be there. I mean, they're going to be down there. That's just, they
Hold
can't
on. Whoa,
get
whoa, whoa,
that
a second.
Shit.
In Premier League history? Because United, I don't think, have ever been relegated.
Well, United have been relegated, not in the Premier League.
Right.
Division One, the old
correct,
kind of,
right, okay, the old, okay, the old yeah. setup.
All right,
Everton right now are
he
in the drop zone with the 8 points and down on goal differential to West Ham.
I mean, is this a Newcastle of a couple years ago? I mean,
I didn't watch this match today, but apparently when Sigurdsson came on, that just the way he looked showed he didn't want to be coming on. So has everybody, is that not only is the bus on fire, but the rats are, you know, jumping ship as well, mixing way too many analogies. But, you know, I don't want to take the piss out of Everton too bad because they have been one of those ships in the league, but it's not good.
I think David Unsworth was trying to make a point. And Sigurdsson, they paid 50 million or whatever
it was. They paid way too much money for him.
And they bring him in, and he's supposed to be...
They paid more money than you paid for him.
Well, obviously, we paid like 10 million for him, and we being Spurs. But no, the whole point, though, I think Unsworth was actually trying to make a point and bench certain players to be like, you know what? You haven't been good enough, and you need to perform in order to be on the pitch. And I think Sigurdsson has he has basically just not lived up to the expectations, and he's basically just become like a turtle in the shell.
Part of it is that's cool, except for when the other players on the bench also aren't good enough to be on the pitch. Then you have a real problem. Like
team, you could argue, should be benched. What
right,
do you do
that's what, yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The wheels have just fallen off. I mean, the big thing is, you know, Ronald Koeman, I mean, it didn't take a genius to figure this out, but like he said, if we had replaced Romelu Lukaku, I would still be the coach of Everton. Well, duh.
You
but I don't
had
know.
A lot of money. And that's the whole thing.
I don't know whose responsibility that was, but someone...
You should have got Iheanacho.
Well, that's Everton's inability.
Actually, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That would have been good because he's not playing at Leicester.
Club, baby girl.
But that's Everton's inability to sell a great player on a project that's going to go somewhere. Lukaku was never going to sit at Everton finishing seventh. He was meant to be on the big stage.
There. Right.
He
like,
should have never left Chelsea. Exactly. But that's the short-sighted Mourinho who had no
right.
time for a young player.
I mean, De Bruyne is another example.
Lukaku
right.
is class. And yes. you can't replace a guy like that with Wayne Rooney. You basically traded like for like. You know, essentially you said, okay, Wayne Rooney, you go back. Yeah,
wise.
Positionally.
Yeah.
You
but
say,
a 10-year
go back. Right. A 10-year difference, a retread versus
probably
a Ferrari.
A lot of right.
Lukaku,
too.
You can't replace a player like that. And obviously, Everton haven't and can't.
Right. Anyone else? Or is that pretty much it for that game?
Well, I think the question a lot of people are asking now is who's going to be the next manager for Everton?
I mean, what are these stories where, like, Moyes is coming back? Like
Moyes, Sean Dyche is out
Why would
there.
You want to take the project on?
That's what I was going to say.
Fire.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
No. So hire Moyes then, because, like, he will take the problem. You know, like, he'll take the problem.
I disagree.
David Moyes?
Yeah.
The chosen one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
the
he,
other chosen one?
Because he's such a good manager.
I'm not saying he's a chosen one.
No, Ferguson basically said
we're
that.
We're talking a lot about Everton here, but let's give Leicester City credit. I mean, not first goal.
That was old school. That was
Vardy.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Leicester City.
I said that. Remember,
Mahrez
I said
the
message.
Wing,
it
give
me
cross, Vardy tapped
yep,
it in the
mm-hmm.
net. Yeah.
It gave me goosebumps because it felt like a goal that they were scoring 2 seasons ago, like on the counter attack.
Right, but when you're scoring against Everton, you know.
Right, it doesn't
great.
Say much. In fact, the second
I'm still
goal,
bitter that Mahrez was supposed to replace Salah at Roma and they couldn't get it done.
But here's the point I want to make, right?
No,
Gray takes a shot and it comes off from an assist from Fuchs, right? But here's the thing. That second goal from Leicester City, I clearly think it came off Kenny from Everton.
It obviously came off Kenny.
But he doesn't get the assist.
Yeah.
He should or own goal or whatever.
Kenny should have had
Does
an
somebody
own goal.
Have that person on their fantasy team? Is that why they're complaining about the lack of an assist?
Well, the way it works is if it's a shot on target and someone kicks it, even if it should be an own goal in this situation, it's counted as a goal for the person that took the shot. So,
okay.
And Damari Gray got the goal, got credit for the goal. But his work on the first goal on the counterattack,
incredible.
It was like let's give him credit for what he did on
yes.
the first one. It was a free kick for Everton,
yep.
and he goes right past like Tom Davis, like he's
pretty
not
much
even
untouched.
There. And then he just skims past the next guy, which should have been a foul, but the play
yep.
on. And then he picks out Mahrez, who then crosses to Vardy. You guys are talking about how it's a goal from 2 years ago. I mean, it all started with Gray.
Right.
And credit to him because he could have went down when because he took that touch and hit it long to run after it. And they tried to shoulder him and pull him down. And he got turned sideways, but he kept going. He could have went down there, but he kept going because the whole pitch was open in front of him.
Right.
And then on to Mahrez to Vardy. And, yeah.
All right. So that's the end of that game. We actually have one Monday game.
Yay.
It's tomorrow. Burnley versus Newcastle. And I'm pretty sure.
Football.
Barn burner.
Right.
Let's just move a bit on of a and talk fest. About the Champions League. Come on.
I think Newcastle will put Burnley to bed. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Burnley's tough.
Burnley's tough. Should win that, I would say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm thinking of 1-0 to Newcastle.
All right. We'll hold you accountable for that. Real-time fact-checking.
Well, you were saying about Champions League.
Yeah, so the Champions League is coming up this week. We've got some great fixtures. We got the Roma fan in-house playing Chelsea on Tuesday.
Ooh, delicious.
Yeah, that'll be a really good one. Barcelona, obviously, are in action against Olympiacos. That should be an interesting one on the road.
Very interesting. 4-0 to Barcelona.
Shout out to Girona, who beat Real Madrid today, which is a victory not only for City Football Group, ownership,
right.
But also the people of Catalonia.
There you go.
Yeah.
Are you making a political statement with this? Are you pro-Catalan independence?
No, I find it utterly fascinating that, like, in 2017, we're talking about nations becoming independent from places like Spain.
Pro-independence all the way.
Yeah.
Read Fear and Loathing in La Liga by Sid Lowe, who covers the Real Madrid-Barca competition, and how just evil Real Madrid are. And honestly, I say this a lot on Twitter. Have you ever met a Madrista that you like? I just frankly find them very...
But
like,
Madrid were the king's team.
Right.
Years ago.
Exactly.
So, that's
the whole point.
But the biggest of them all... Real Madrid come to London to play our favorite club on this radio station, which we can all agree is the Tottenham Hotspurs.
No,
it'll be very interesting to see if Gareth Bale and Harry Kane will be playing in the game, because both of them will be last-minute decisions.
I thought Napoli versus City was the big Champions League match this week. Is that not this week?
That is this
Wednesday.
Week, well, but we've already
City,
moved on.
City, Barcelona, all right. And... Napoli all have 28 points, the top three teams in the world.
Yes, in there. Yeah.
All right, guys, that's about it from this week. We'll be back next weekend. Some great games, obviously. Don't forget the game on Monday as well. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Mark.
Daniel.
Christian.
Have a great week, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition, and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.